Part 3, Confession of Sins. In any way I have given the devil a foothold, have because of my desires been enticed and lured away from the faith, have connected with these attractions and conceived and brought forth sin, I confess and repent, asking your forgiveness and cleansing from unrighteousness. In any way I have given the devil a foothold. Now comes the part where I confess any sin the Lord has shown me. As I look over the list and see which things apply to me, some are obviously sins, but sometimes I'm not quite sure. Confusion can increase that uncertainty. But no matter what, my deepest heart wants to keep Satan from gaining a foothold in the property of my soul, which he can do through my sin, so I want to work through this part of the prayer. Ephesians 4:26b through 27. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place, a foothold, to the devil. The second half of Ephesians 4 speaks to God's people about putting off the old man who corrupts himself according to deceitful desires, so that you can be renewed in the spirit of your understanding. It then leads into the passage above. That's what this is about, being aware of any way I may have given place or a foothold to the devil, so that I can then, through Christ, have a victory in the spirit realm where all the battles are ultimately fought. About 15 or 20 years ago, when I experienced a significant spiritual battle, I ultimately came to see it as something like the minions of Satan setting up camp in my backyard while I was in my house, worried and scared, but not taking the necessary action to stand against them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. There they were, having gained a foothold, the practical outworking of which was a relentless battering ram onslaught in my mind and heart. Even now, so many years later, I look back at that experience and say, that was horrible. But the Lord used that experience to inoculate me in a sense, giving me a keen desire to keep the workers of the enemy off the property that belongs to him. That's the emphasis of this scripture. Have because of my desires been enticed and lured away from the faith, have connected with these attractions and conceived and brought forth sin. James 1:14-15. But each one is tempted when they are drawn away of their own lust, strong desires, and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, brings forth death. Here then is the anatomy of sin. Each person is tempted when he or she is lured out and enticed because of his own strong desire. This is the language of seduction, lured out and enticed. Notice that the seduction isn't in itself a sin, it's the temptation. The enticing and being lured out is not in itself a sin, but it happens because of something that connected with our desires. If the process continues, though, then it leads to sin. When the strong desire has fully connected with the enticement, that's when sin takes place. Some time ago, when I was dealing with a situation that caused me sensations of overwhelm, despair, horror, confusion, anger, distraction, a sense of weakness, doubt, fear, exhaustion, sadness, anxiety, and discouragement, yes, it hit every single one of those. After the woman left my home, I got out the ice cream and started eating it right out of the carton. It wasn't the woman I was reacting to, but what had happened to her, the evil that had been perpetrated on her, and the resulting grief and consequences. But there I was with the ice cream, knowing full well that I should be going to the Lord. Why did I go to ice cream instead of the Lord? This is the anatomy of sin. A small example to show a big problem. A difficult situation caused me to be flooded with emotions. Within the context of those emotions, I believed lies. In this case, the lies looked something like, this is too difficult. God didn't take care of it then. God's not taking care of it now. Ice cream. Ice cream will take care of it. Of course, those actual thoughts didn't go through my mind, and when I wrote them out just now, I saw how ludicrous they looked. But the enemy offered the lies. I reached out and took them because of my desires. Strong desire connects with a lie. Sin is birthed. Stop it right there. Confess and repent. Turn the other way. Otherwise, the continued fornication between strong desire and the lie will bring about increased sin. When it is finished, it will lead to death. Ephesians 4:22. But ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off everything concerning the old way of life, that is, the old man who corrupts himself according to deceitful desires. By faith, turn to the only one who can deliver us from this path of death, Jesus Christ. I confess and repent, asking your forgiveness and cleansing from unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Confession is stating the truth. How important it is to do that when there's any possibility I may have connected with a lie. Repentance has come to be seen by many as simply consisting of tears and apologies. The honesty of the heart is judged by words and actions, which might or might not be pretended by a skilled actor. Though tears and apologies might in some cases be appropriate, repentance would be far better defined along the lines of coming to your senses, the way the prodigal son did when he was in the pigsty in the parable Jesus told. Luke 15:17-18. And when he, the prodigal son, came to himself, he said, "How many hired servants of my father's have abundance of bread, and I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee." Picture him now standing in the pigsty, considering the life he has so profligately wasted. He bemoans the husks the pigs are eating, pondering his ravenous hunger. Then suddenly, he comes to himself. That's when he changed course. He determined to do something different, and he began to set that new determination in motion. Even though this coming to himself wasn't accompanied by tears, still, that was his repentance. When the prodigal son returned home and spoke to his father, that was his expression of repentance. But the actual repentance had taken place in the pigsty. Biblical repentance is a change of mind, like that of the prodigal son, that says, "What was I thinking? Let me hurry up and get back to where I belong. I was turning in the wrong direction, and I want to correct course." For more on what repentance really is, these blog posts at heresthejoy.com might be helpful. What does real repentance look like? And erring on the side of grace when it comes to repentance. When we come to him in confession and repentance, we can count on our Savior, our Rescuer, quickly and lovingly receiving us, cleansing us, restoring us, and setting us right again. This is what he delights to do. Welcome home.